That's a true story, though.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I couldn't get past the...
Yeah, no, me neither.
See, that was funny. If we could say...
I don't think you can say... on a photo show.
No, I don't think you can.
No.
That's all you have to do. It just bleep.
Mm-hmm.
Except use a better sound than that.
Hello and welcome to episode 231 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC.
What's going on, Adam? Hot, is what I hear.
It is, yeah, it's hot. Hot yeah. These days.
Hot here
yeah.
too.
Hot with photography.
It is hot, but is it me? Or does it go from really cold to really hot really quickly?
Seems that way.
It seems that me. There's no sort of... get ready for it phase.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure we had a snowball fight a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, played some ball, and it was like 33, 34 degrees.
Yeah, you moved to the desert.
Hot. Which means thunder and lightning here, though, so that's cool.
Anyways. Did you take any pictures?
No.
Of the thunder and lightning, I mean.
No. I took no pictures yesterday at all. So there you go.
So when you're the player coach of your baseball team, are you also the team photographer?
Nope. I don't even bring my camera anymore.
Never?
No. Not even on the road. I brought my camera. You know what's funny? I brought my camera on the road trip to Regensburg last week that we talked about on the show.
Yeah.
I brought my film camera strictly to get a photo with Walter Keller, the guy who takes the pictures in Regensburg.
Okay.
So there you go. So I'll post that. I was...
picture of you with Walter.
Me and Walter, yeah. He was nice enough to stick around after the second game.
And who took the photo then?
A voice-activated tripod.
Okay.
Guy on our team. I just got it all set up. Our pitcher was happened to be walking by, and I said, hey, Kyle, can you snap this photo? And it's probably the first film photo he's ever taken, so... because he's one of the young guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So probably never had an opportunity to snap an actual film photo. It was a big day for him.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, so we had a tough day. We had no pitcher that game, and so we basically got blown out by one of the top teams in all of Europe. And so the final score was 20-0.
Ouch.
Yeah, not for us. No. We had the zero.
Yeah, the nothing end of that.
Yeah. Yeah, we opted for the zero end of it, but right. But so for Walter to stick around at the end of, for the end of that game was great. He actually snapped some really great photos. So I was pretty thrilled. So you should check out his website. You can Google him, Walter Keller, or catchthefever.de. I'll put a link up there, and you can see a lot of his sports. He shoots the baseball every week. And so they have a great stadium in Regensburg and just a great setting, and he is an outstanding photographer when it comes to shooting baseball. Like, the emotions he gets, he's just a real artist when it comes to shooting. Because it's one thing to shoot the sports and the action, but he adds this whole level of emotion and art to it that is really fantastic. So I was glad he stuck around, and I got to meet his family and get my picture taken with him, so... That was that.
Great.
So, what do you want to know?
No, I don't want to know anything.
Didn't even want to know that.
No, you gave me far more than I wanted.
So, what's going on in Vancouver summer?
Photography.
Now that the sun is out, the camera comes out?
Yeah, no, I had a couple of gigs last weekend, so I did some actual... paid work. So I did some high school grad stuff for
Amazon.
That too.
Did the girls buy their dresses on the Amazon?
Maybe they did.
Yeah, probably did.
Yeah,
that's the way the kids are doing it.
I bought a boatload of stuff off Amazon in the last week.
What'd you buy?
I wanted a new wallet.
Uh-huh.
So I bought a wallet. Like, I wanted something that was just, you know, very thin, low profile wallet. So I bought that, and then I bought hot shoe adapters for my flashes because I have the Canon 430 EX2 flashes. I have two of those, and they don't have a PC sync port, and I've always used them without the PC sync port because of the wireless triggers I have. They have a hot shoe on them, except for I've noticed probably now that I've had my flashes a couple of years, sometimes there is some issues now getting the contacts right. So I think probably because they're cheaper triggers, a couple of years of heavy use, which I have used them for, and the contacts are probably, and I know it's not on the end of my flash because there's never a problem with my flash end going into the camera hot shoe. So I think it's on the contacts. So I bought a couple on Amazon of the little PC sync thing so that I can work, because the Yongnuo triggers actually have a PC sync on them. So that way I can go PC sync to the trigger, which I figure will be much more reliable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will it do
high-speed sync?
High-speed sync and ETTL.
Don't know. We'll find out. Like I say, it's not an expensive workaround, so I just thought I would try it. I think they're like $15 each for the little hot shoe adapter, so I bought a pair of them, and I thought I'll test it out, and then I will report back to you.
So these are the Yongnuos that you're having issues with the contact.
The contact on the top. So, and not all the time, but just enough times lately to kind of be iffy. And then I thought, well, I was thinking, oh, should I just upgrade and buy a whole new set of triggers? I've been looking at Pocket Wizards used on Craigslist. And then I thought, well, wait a second. I've been super happy with these all the way along. And I've had, again, them for a couple years of heavy use before I jump ship completely and buy a whole new set of triggers, which is going to cost me a little bit of money. Maybe I'll just see what happens with the PC sync port. Cause I don't use the high speed sync off camera very often, to be honest. So it really isn't that big of a deal to me. It comes up once in a while, but really not a big deal.
The ETTL and the full manual control from the camera is a pretty skookum function. But you can, Is it worth, you know, a few $100s? Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah. Eventually I will. Like, whenever these things completely bite the bullet, I will. The next set I buy will be the Pocket Wizards.
Yeah? Wow.
For sure it will be, just because I'm not going through and buying, cheaper units again. I wanted to know that I was going to use it. I wanted to know what the feature set would do. But definitely I will probably, whenever I do make the jump, the next one will be the Pocket Wizards. I've looked at them, and just the whole way the system works is just, it's phenomenal. So yeah, there will not be an in-between for me.
Wow.
Hopefully I can find a good deal on them.
So is the Yongnuo love affair over?
No, I do like them, and I think they're perfect for me at the time where I was at with my photography. But again, it all comes down to, if I was going to do it all for fun, then I would for sure just do the Yongnuos, because again, they're super inexpensive and they give you a huge feature set. But when you're doing it for somebody else and for money, and you can't, you know, the triggers are misbehaving, that's no good. So it comes down to, if someone else is paying me to do the work more often, then I will invest in the triggers that I'm never going to have to squabble with.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the most frustrating things, is a flash that won't fire.
Yeah. And I've always got it to come around, but again, you can waste 5 minutes easily and everything's set up properly, just going, why won't this work?
And, right? And then when you're asking the client, because you don't often see it, whether it flashes or not, immediately
through the
viewfinder. And so when you're asking your client, hey, did it flash? Did it flash? You look really pro.
Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, I have been, I'm sure you're going to see, if you check the purchases, that are coming from my household in the last week.
Good. Yeah. Well, and,
I'm keeping our Amazon afloat.
As am I, man. I had an Amazon week. I bought a watch.
Okay.
I've never owned a watch.
Right.
Yeah. That's a great, great story, huh? But
now you do.
Now I do. I bought a halfway, well, I wouldn't say expensive watch, but a decent watch. And as my whole shift to go even further analog in my life. I wanted a nice regular old watch, no digital. Mm-hmm. And because the few times that I, you know, whenever I have to go out somewhere, take my kids somewhere, or need to be there, be somewhere on time, I always have to bring like my iPod or something just so I can check the time. Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Yeah, I always wear a watch.
Oh, and I'm a grown up now. Mm-hmm. I'm a grown up. I got a decent watch. And so now, and then a bunch of kids were on my lawn. I got them off my lawn the other day. So officially an adult now.
Great.
Point is, I bought that on Amazon as well.
Yeah, and you clicked through our site, I hope.
Of course I did. Yeah. And I bought a bunch of other stuff. What else did I get? Kids like toys or like stuff that you can't get here like for the kids. I don't know, nothing important, but the point is it was Amazon. Click through our site.
Yes. Okay.
Getting back to I want to hear now, we'll get into shooting anything interesting, and it sounds like you did. It sounds like
I did some family photos and some grad photos last weekend.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So one was kind of a shoot for, at first there was a family. So there's two completely different shoots on different days. But the one grad photo shoot, first I did family photos of the grad and the family. Uh-huh. And then I went to a second location, all part of essentially the same job, where I was going to shoot a whole bunch of the grads before they get in the limo and blah, blah, blah. So at someone's house where there was like, I don't know, I want to say 12 or 13 of them meeting up. So, you know, boys and girls. So some of the couples kind of shots. And it was interesting. I won't say fun, because I knew one person. It was the one person that I'd met that day that was going to be the grad, and I really was the contact was the mother of that person I knew. So again, I was kind of being introduced to a whole bunch of high school kids on their grad day night. So I mean, they would rather just take the pictures on their phone. Like me being there really wasn't like, oh, hey, last year when I did this, they were all super excited to have the photographer there and they all wanted to pose and get shots. This was kind of like, I had to really work to get them to take photos. And then I thought like, hey, this isn't really for me anyway. So it's kind of one of those weird situations where the contact person I knew also, was leaving to go to the grad so that she could get a good seat and see everything. And so I was there and, you know, I was doing my best to try to get them involved, but they just, you know, really weren't that into it. So I was kind of like, all right, well, I'm here. If you guys want to take pictures, tell me what you want and I can do it. But it was, it was a little challenging just to get them pumped when they clearly were just, you know, excited about going to grad and other things. But what I will say is that I did find this was a really nice house that I was at. And what I remembered, and this is a good tip, is if you find a staircase, a nice winding staircase, and it happens to have a skylight over it, that is an awesome location for these kind of formal pictures. Mm-hmm. So the weird thing was when I did the grad photos last year, the person I did it for, similar idea, had this house that all the kids met at, and they had one of these winding staircases, and I took a few photos, a few group shots, a few single shots on the winding staircase with the skylight. And when I walked into this place, I was like, wow, I saw it right away and it was pretty clutter free. And I just thought, hey, you know, no moving couches, no need for off camera flash or anything. This is just perfect spot to take this kind of photo. So I pretty much got everyone through with a shot like that. And then the couples through. And so just so they each would have something take them. And then it was the middle of the day. It was like 3 p.m. So we did a few outside because it was really the only place that was big enough to kind of get a big group shot. And I did a group shot of them in front of the limo when it showed up, one of these giant SUV limos. So I had a big group shot like that, but I took a few outside shots, and because of the time of day, I did use some additional lights just so that I could balance the exposure with how time of day it was and still keep some light on their faces. So I did some good stuff. I thought everything turned out very well, but I don't know. I just thought it would have been they would have been more juiced to kind of do this sort of thing, but yeah. Like I say, they weren't really into it.
So how many kids, like we're talking like five girls, five, and then there are five guys? Or
what? Yeah, there was probably six and seven. I think there was about 13 total. So I don't remember, more girls, more guys. But the girls were definitely more interested, and I can understand that. I think I would have been the same way in high school. So I did all the girls as individuals, and then I did a girls group shots, and then I did the couples. But I didn't even go there as far as trying to get the guys on their own. They just weren't into
really?
It. Really? Yeah.
So
yeah.
Does this represent a real cultural shift, like with the kids? I mean,
I just could have been this group. Like I said, last year,
yeah.
Although last year, again, I shot much more of the girls. It was the girls, the group of girls that sort of hired me to do the job. So again, the focus was on them, but they were all into it. And they were constantly pulling me to do this group or that group or this individual. And again, it was just, they were this go around, they were more interested about being in the other room, just chatting. And I was like, all right, well, you know, whatever you guys want, I take pictures. Right. But the job essentially was more for the one person that I knew and her kid. And then, so I had all those pictures, and then she said, oh, the other parents kind of said, but I don't really know how much of it was communicated to the kids, and, you know, and they didn't have it. There was no vested interest for them, right? Other than, I guess, to come away with one or two cool pictures. Like I don't know why they didn't care, but that was just kind of the way it was.
I'm trying to think back to my grad, and I think I have two photos.
Yeah.
Do you have any photos of your grad?
I don't think, I mean, I'm probably somewhere or someone does. I don't think I do, though, or I certainly don't recall one. I have one from my grade 7 grad that we found about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Or grade 8. At that point in Ontario, it was grade 8.
Right.
So, yeah, elementary school grad. So I found one of those, but no, I don't know of one of a high school grad, to be honest.
Will you post it?
What, the grade 7 one? Sure. Okay. Not? I don't see why not. Yeah.
I'll see if I'll post one of my grad photos, too. And it's but I think my dad brought his camera, snapped a few photos, and left. And that's how it was. And even then, it wasn't like anything, you know, fancy. It was just like his regular film camera, the one I use now. That was it. But I get the impression now with, I like to say, the kids, you know. Anytime you add the to a group, you're grouchy.
Yeah.
You know. If you, the Asians, all of a sudden, that takes on a different, you know, connotation. Or the kids anyways, but with the kids these days, I feel like they're overwhelmed with photos of themselves.
Maybe that's it. And they all did have cameras, and they were all snapping photos of each other, but that seemed to be fine. Like again, yeah. that was good enough. Right.
Right. I guess that's where we're at.
Yeah, and so that's fine. I totally get it. That's completely fine if you know, that's the objective, is just to have something to capture the memory, whether or not it's good or not. It doesn't really matter. And maybe now with the way the phones are, the photos are so much better than what we had, than what we were taking when, you know, we were in elementary school or in high school anyway. So
true.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just, to me, it saddens me to you know, basically think that, all right, you've got a guy hired there who clearly, hopefully, knows what he's doing. Would you not just make sure that you got a couple of yourself in there? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, this is the trouble with the accessibility of the technology now. Like, because, you know, when you were, you know, graduating, if your folks had hired, you know, a pro photographer, there was probably only two pro photographers in Etobicoke.
Yeah.
Where'd you live?
Unionville.
Right. There's probably only two pro photographers. So, you know, it'd be probably pretty expensive and hard to get.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, you can get anybody with a decent setup. I mean, like, obviously, you know what you're doing, but you don't have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To own that equipment, you could show up. And so there is it really is the market has been flooded. It's a saturated market.
Yeah.
And so I guess the kids are kind of like blasé about that.
To just take that point, to yes and you here, in my son's kindergarten class, so there's, I don't know, I want to say 25 kids in the kindergarten class, I've already at Sports Day the other day this week, spotted two 1.5D Mark III and 1.5D Mark II in our kindergarten class.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go. If you want to talk about like the quality of cameras that are out there, that's just within the kindergarten class. So,
yeah.
So, but the other job I wanted to just quickly mention, because there's a takeaway here. I did a family photo shoot for some people just down in Gary Point, and you know they had a young child, so I think just turned one, and they wanted to do some family photos, and these are people that contact me via my sister-in-law, so there was a contact there. So anyway, so they knew I did photos, and we sort of got together at time. We went really early because I said, hey, it'll be better if you know we go early for the light, just knowing where I was going to do the photos. And so anyway, so we went there, and I got there maybe 10 minutes early. Kind of, you know, a move that I like to do is just kind of scope things out so I can figure out, you know, minimal time wasted, because again, you never know with a one-year-old how long they're going to last. So got it all set up right when they got there. They're into it. We just said, okay, let's go sit right here. Took the photos, unbeknownst to me, when I got home, and also, you know, to be fair, they didn't notice either. There was right next, like I positioned them on a log so you could see the beach and the water and everything in behind them, and right beside them, I swear to you, no more than 2 feet away next to the log they were sitting, was a pair of pants up on a stick. But they were gray pants, and they kind of camouflaged beside like the rocks and the stuff that was around them. So again, nobody noticed it. And I didn't even notice in the first few pictures that I was looking at, but it was in like at least, I don't know, 20 of the good photos that I'd taken, because no. Where we started, and it was like someone must have forgotten this pair of pants, and then someone must have spotted it, and so they put it up on this stick just so, I guess, so that, you know, it, hey, come get your pants. And yeah, that was right next. So the takeaway here is, you know, pay a little bit of attention to your surroundings. I thought I did that, and I was looking at the light, and I was looking at the background and all these things, and what I didn't notice was literally 2.5 feet from where my setup was going to be, and in a whole bunch of pictures. Now, the good news is here, and this is maybe for those Photoshop users who are running the latest Photoshop, but when you're trying to remove an object like that, if you've got, you know, a pretty good background to work with, where you got a lot of pixels that look the same, like if there's grass in behind there, or sand in this case in behind there, there is like this, now this tool where you can fill that area in like with content aware software, because on the old version of Photoshop that we were running forever, you couldn't do this. Mm-hmm. So now this content aware fill feature is amazing. So save me a ton of time. So I basically decided, okay, which are the best photos here? If there's four or five of them I'm going to use from this spot, I'm just going to do this little content aware fill and then brush it up. It took me maybe, I don't know, a minute and a half per photo to save something that I probably would have only saved one otherwise, because it would have taken me 20 or 30 minutes to fix it properly. Right. So for those out there using the newest Photoshop, if you don't know how to use this, go on Google and look it up. And this content aware feel, like if there's a distracting frisbee that's going by just next to some, or a person that photobombs you that you want out, depending on what the background is, it can be very easy to remove them now.
I would recommend giving them one with the pants in it.
Oh, I thought about it, and then I'm just like, no, now I have to explain it, and then explain why it's in one and not the other.
They don't know?
They didn't notice. No, I just basically took it out of the photos that I wanted to use and sent to them.
Oh, see, I thought maybe it was on the day you said, oh boy, I got pants in here, and like you couldn't go back.
No, I didn't notice until I got home.
Oh, so they have no clue, so they will never know.
They will never know.
Unless they listen to the show, they're not going to know about the pants incident.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not listening to the show. And if they did, then they'd think I was an even better photographer for going that extra mile and taking that out.
No, they'll think you're a better editor.
Yeah,
they'll think you're a piss poor photographer.
Yeah, but I could have saved myself a bit of time and a bit of just hassle and headache by just, again, doing a little bit a better job scoping it. I was so concerned with just making sure exposure was right and where the background would bleed out and blah, 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 that I didn't notice something right in front of my face. So that was a new lesson. I don't think I'd learned that one yet.
That's the day one of film school. They tell you they level the camera, check the focus, look for extra pants.
Yeah, up on flagpoles.
Yeah. Well, just anywhere. Like, don't be specific, because if you just look up, then you're going to miss the other pants. You'll miss pants on the log. That's the thing. It's just pants.
I didn't.
Especially when it's hot out, because that's when the pants come off.
Yeah. I didn't ask the, like, I didn't know these people very well. Well, I didn't know them at all. I met them for the first time. So I felt kind of odd asking if I could, you know, post some of their photos on Facebook or anything. So I never asked. And then after when I got home and I saw this, I kind of thought, oh, it'd be nice to just show what I mean by this whole pants thing. So I might go back and look for one and see if I can crop out a section just to show like this odd situation of these pants. Mm-hmm. You could not miss it. Like, it's unbelievable that I could have been standing there and they could have been sitting right next to it and nobody noticed that these pants were there. But that's what I mean. It's crazy. Like, and anyways, I said to Lisa when I got home, I said, look at this photo. Like, what's wrong here? What do you see? And she's like, yeah, there's pants on a stick.
Pants.
And I'm like, yeah. And my first thought was, did they put those pants there? Like, were those the... No. That was just somebody, random pants.
So if you're listening to the show and you're missing some pants...
Yeah, they're down at Gary Point.
And, photographically, they no longer exist. So don't even look.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah. Right,
wow, so. He had quite a week.
I've got something else. Can I keep going here? This is video related.
Okay,
now.
Let's go ahead.
Okay, so I ranted about this a while back, but it was absolutely rampant at sports day, at my kid's sports day. And then, I'll say what it is. It's the whole video or vertical video problem that's going around. And I was just, again, I'm taken aback because now at sports day, I guess it's incumbent upon everybody to take video. Like, I didn't take a second of video. I was rebelling. I took a few photos only because my wife told me that I did it for Sarah and I better do it for Jack because she puts them in a scrapbook.
Sure.
So I wasn't going to take the camera, but I did to take a few just to even the score. But anyways, everybody is taking vertical videos.
Right.
And I get mad about this. And again, I've complained about this in the past. And then I was complaining about it to a friend of mine. And he sent me one of these funny YouTube videos that they called VVS, Vertical Video Syndrome.
Uh-huh.
So Lisa sent me the link. She probably sent you the link too, did she?
No.
Did you see this one?
No.
Vertical Video Syndrome. Anyways, it's a really funny like public service announcement on Vertical Video Syndrome.
Oh, maybe she sent that to me, yeah.
Well, she sent you, I know she sent you a different one on the whole selfie stick
right.
thing that was pretty funny. But just funny to see like how many people were doing vertical video. I counted one person who wasn't out of about 50 that was actually taking their video in proper orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was somebody on an iPad. So I was mad that they were even taking video on an iPad.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's good, but it's not good.
It is. Yeah. The first time I saw a person taking video or photos on an iPad, it was like when the iPad was brand new.
Yeah,
I was walking around the old town in Munich in the summertime. It was just a wonderful evening, and there's a guy playing the accordion like a busker, and big crowd, and there was this guy holding up his iPad, and I thought, wow, that looks weird. Because
it does.
I don't know, like, why are you carrying your iPad? Maybe you don't want to leave it in the hotel. I don't know, but why are you walking around on an evening with your iPad? That can't be fun. But anyways,
no.
the vertical video, maybe we'll do a show on this because I used to be as angry as you.
Okay.
And not I wouldn't say angry, but just nonplussed, I guess, is a good way to say it.
I don't get it. It's just disturbing to me I did it once on an iPod, like, I don't know, 10 years ago when the iPod first came out, first had video. I don't know how many years ago that was. And I took a video of something. I don't even remember what it is, to be honest. But I watched the 3-second clip and I was just like, oh no, what did I do here? This is all wrong.
Yes.
And I never made that mistake again. I don't understand. is this just their first time taking video and they're all going to get it the next time?
No, but listen, here's the thing. Is the reason that the vertical video is an issue is because primarily we typically watch these movies on our TVs, on our computer screens or whatever, and those are horizontal. However, right. I see a major shift going here where most people are probably only going to watch it on their iPad. They're going to save these videos to the cloud. They're not going to do anything else with them, and they're just going to... In fact, they're never even going to watch them is the irony.
Yes.
There's so many videos, and they spend all their watching time taking more videos that they are just sharing them with people on Facebook. This is the ultimate in conceit, I guess. Like, this is the ultimate narcissistic view is that people generally just shoot the videos for other people to enjoy and never even take the time to watch theirs or edit them down. God forbid they shorten them to make them interesting. But they shoot them for, hey, everyone else will enjoy this, send it off into the, you know, the atmosphere, and then be done with it, assuming that like I care.
Right.
I like your kids. I like your kids very much. And I would like to see a couple of photos of sports day. I do not want to see 1 second of video, vertical or horizontal, of your kid's sports day. I do not give a care.
I don't want to see it either.
No.
I saw it. I was there. I saw it.
That's the thing.
I'm pretty sure everyone else I know, grandparents included, will be okay with the kid's description of it was fun.
And
maybe a few of my pictures, if they're expressive or something. Yeah.
Not a life-changing event.
No.
You know, oh, how was your grade 2 sports day? Oh, it changed my life. Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, don't worry. Here, I'll show you the video.
Yeah, you'll see. You can watch it.
I won't just say that it changed my life. I'm going to go ahead and say it changed the world that day when we did. What we did was we all grabbed the parachute up in the air, boom, underneath, sat on it, boom. We were sitting in a parachute, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. My dad got video with multiple angles. He hired a video crew, all shot vertically and integrated. So,
yeah.
So I do share your, I'll say anger or just complete confusion, but I also don't really care.
Yeah. The little public service announcement is hilarious for haters like me though. It's done really well and there's puppets and all kinds. It's really good. So, I mean, I imagine if you just Google the, vertical video syndrome VVS public service announcement, you'll find it. But if I can get the link dug up, maybe we can post that. I'll send it to you and maybe you can post it as well as the selfie one, because the selfie one's funny too.
Here's where we're at as a society. How long was that? 3 minutes?
Maybe not even.
Yeah,
maybe two.
Yeah, but yeah. I watched the first half and I was like, no, I got it. It was very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. The vertical video one's better.
Okay.
But maybe that one is even a hotter topic for me than the selfie stick. I don't know which one gets me more, but
You're an old man, all right.
Yeah, I'm totally old man.
I'll blow through my did you shoot anything interesting.
No. Go ahead. We got lots of time.
No. Mine was very simple. I shot a lot of film and process. I somehow managed to find time to process film. Like, I've had zero of what we call free time in the last few months. Mm-hmm. And then especially with baseball being, you know, that many days a week now. Like, we're probably 5 days a week I'm at baseball, right?
Okay.
And so that's real tough. And then I had a job that I just finished yesterday. Like it'd been going on for quite some time. And so any free time was spent, you know, not being a dad, was spent doing this project.
Okay.
So that finally ended, and I thought, oh, wow, I can finally process. I have a few rolls of film that I haven't shot, or I haven't processed that I'd shot. And one of them, in fact, had been sitting in my camera for over 2 years. And I'd exposed, like, 33 of the 36 frames, like, some of them 2 years ago, some of them a year ago. And so I knocked off the last two frames, went and processed it, black and white, did it in the basement. And I was like, wow, this is what I miss about film, is finding pictures of my 2-year-old on the same roll as my now 4-year-old. Like this roll of film had I'd shot some at the old place in Tübingen, and then it had gone to Vancouver with us, and I shot some pictures in Vancouver, and never finished it. Never got around to finishing that roll, and it actually flew back with us here, and I shot some more photos, and so over the 2 years I have this film, and I thought, wow, this is really awesome. And that was in the one camera, because I have multiple film cameras, and so that was just kind of sitting there. And then the other camera, I shot a few rolls of film just because I wanted to renewed interest in it, of course. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I processed those, and I'm going to do a whole lot more of it. I forgot why I loved it so much.
Okay, well, don't forget again.
No, so I'll post a couple of those. I haven't even gone through all of them yet. I haven't had a chance to process them, like actually develop them, quote unquote, in Lightroom. But so I did that. But I also went to the, of course, with the hot weather, the swimming pool, the Freibad, which means the outdoor swimming pool. That's what that means. The Freibad opened up, and so we took the kids there, and it was great. I mean, it's tough when you have two young kids because, you know, my son, he's really into it. He really loves the water. He loves the deep water.
Okay.
He's not really good at the deep water. And so I don't know where you stand. Like, I know your wife is a lifeguard or a former lifeguard. Mm-hmm. My policy is in the kiddie pool, like if the kids can stand up, no water wings for them.
Okay.
That's my policy. That's not a universal policy. It's a lot of people who put water wings on their kids when they shouldn't, and then take vertical video of it, evidently, with a selfie stick. But so that's my problem. But however, that means you have to be on your kid. Like, you have to, you know, when he goes under, you have to be there.
Right.
So again, this is more
arm's length. I think that's my wife's rule.
Right.
Arm's length.
So that's the thing. Yes, I always am arm's length. But these other parents, they put the water wings on and see you at the end of the day. Right. Which I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that. I want to teach my kids. I've taught my daughter a healthy respect for the water, and so she doesn't fear it. But she's really good in the water. She's a real water baby, and so is my son, except for he goes under and can't quite get up. So I usually give him a 2 Mississippi before I grab him. Well, no, so he has to understand that he can't breathe under there and that he should get up. Like, he has to want to get up, and I'm not always going to be there.
Right.
So ask your wife if that's good parenting or not. I don't know.
Okay.
I generally, once he do, I then grab him by his feet and hold him upside down so all the water drains from his lungs. So anyways, but the point being is that you have to be on him, and then, you know, you have your 4-year-old daughter running around, so your wife's over there, but you want to get pictures, right? And you got kids splashing everywhere and firing off these, you know, the squirt guns. We'll call them the squirt gun technology is phenomenal now. Mm-hmm. And so there's just water flying everywhere. So this is where it pays to have a beater camera.
Okay.
Something that if it gets splashed, you're not going to cry about it.
Right.
You know, you don't try. I mean, I take mine in the pool with me. Obviously above the water. I don't go underwater with it because I don't have a housing for it. And I want to use DSLR. I want to get good DSLR photos because they're, you know, the kids move around pretty a lot. And if you have a little point and shoot, even like your waterproof point and shoot that you have is going to be no good for my kids. Okay. Just because they move around, it's just not going to happen. I need to have that control. And so the 40D with the 30mm lens, it goes to the pool. And if it gets splashed, just quickly wipe that off and move on with your day.
Right.
And so then you can still look after your kid. All is well. So pick up a beater. I'm sure you can find them on Craigslist or wherever. I'm guessing, what is a 40D going to cost you now? $200?
Depending on the condition it is. Some people want too much, but yeah, say about $250.
That's kind of where I would start. I mean, the 30D is fine, but for me, the 40D is kind of where the beginning of where they started getting really good, in my opinion. I shot with a 20D, and it was decent, but for me, the 40D is kind of the beginning of where I would look for a beater. And at $200. You know, what do you expect? Maybe you get 2 years out of it, beating the hell out of it, and get a lot of nice photos in the process.
Yeah.
So there you go. Wow, that was a long beginning of our show.
Yeah. It's all right. We don't have much of a show.
Photo challenge. Let's get in the photo challenge now.
Yeah.
It was Cube.
Yes.
Because today, when you're listening to this, or when you, if you're, you know, on top of it, published on June the 8th being a perfect cube.
Okay.
2 × 2 × 2.
That's where you were going.
I have a thing for numbers, and it's not why I wear number 8, but the times that I couldn't get number 8, like maybe on the teams where the number 8 didn't exist, I used to wear number 27.
3 × 3 × 3.
Correct.
Yeah, no, you know what the funny thing is? When you posed that, I thought you were going to do something with number 8.
No, I had before. And I'm not going to, I wasn't trying to, you know, beat a dead horse. So it was Cube. So let's have a look. Who wants to go first, you or me? Quick.
You go first.
All right, here's my photo. Cube.
Yeah, I saw this photo and I thought, wow, I almost did the exact same photo.
Yes.
Like, literally to the dice going in the water.
Which would
have been so awkward.
You were going to do dice in the water?
Yeah. My first thought was the only thing I had around the house that was a cube was a dice. I was like, oh, okay, dice. And I had the idea of, again, tossing it in a glass of water. But then I decided, no, I'm not gonna do that, because I had made some reference on the last episode about Ice Cube, and I was like, well, that's a kind of cube. So then I ended up going a different route. But the funny thing is this is almost exactly what I had envisioned that I was going to do, and then for some reason talked myself into something else. And then when I saw it, I thought that was very eerie, because even the lighting and the setup is pretty darn close to what I ended up actually doing. And I didn't see your photo until, I don't know, 2 days after I'd actually taken mine.
Correct.
So, just interesting. Interesting it turned out.
It's funny, because after I issued, I thought I was being super clever. I had no idea what I was going to shoot. I didn't have anything in mind. And then, you know, as the day approached, I thought, I really shouldn't have issued this challenge. This is really hard. But then I thought about it, and I went through all the same iterations that you did. I have a Rubik's Cube here that I thought, well, that would be too simple. And my wife was thrilled about it, because there was a story in the paper about, you know, the Rubik's Cube was introduced in Germany 30 years ago today. Like, you know, like, well, that's, I don't think that's going to be a tie-in. Like, we're not going to jump on the Rubik's Cube bandwagon, I don't think.
Right.
So she was very disappointed that I wouldn't shoot my Rubik's Cube, but I didn't understand how that would go anyways. And then there is a guy on my baseball team who, with a little bling, I think, looks a lot like a young Ice Cube. For real. looks like the rapper. And I say this, I've met Ice Cube. And so I've seen him up close, and I swear, he looks like Ice Cube. So I was gonna get him all dressed up and see if he'd pose, but just that didn't happen. So I thought about this. I thought, oh, I had this in mind. I was like, great. You know what? I'm gonna do an actual Ice Cube, and got the whole lighting set up and ready to go, and got it dialed in. Went into the freezer and realized that our ice cubes are not cubes; they're kind of round.
Yeah, and very rare to actually find an ice cube that is an actual.
Well, not perfectly square, but I mean, I would see at least a rectangular box shape. That would be fine.
Oh, okay.
But ours were like very, these really weird round things, and we have something that I've never seen it before until I got to Germany. It's very popular here to have ice cube bags, like disposable plastic bags, that you fill with water. And then as soon as you need the ice, you just basically pop them out of these plastic bags and toss them. I don't know why. It's not very environmental.
Okay.
But they're wildly popular here. I don't get. But again, they come out kind of like flat discs, like round discs.
Okay.
So I thought that was just cheating. And so I was like, oh boy. I have the whole setup now. What do? I better grab a die, because it's a perfect cube. And that's what I did. And so, you know, got it all set up. I got two lights. I got, it's all lit from behind. As you can see, the shadows are coming from, you know, the glass on the table. You can see them kind of coming forward. So I have one sort of a 45-degree angle camera right, one 45-degree camera or 45-angle camera left. Both of them just hard light firing into this, and then I had a remote for the camera itself so I could stand right above and drop the dye into the water. And it took about 5-6 tries to get it to land, like to snap the photo exactly where I wanted it. Like basically the dye should be halfway down. So we see some kind of, you know, ripple in the water and some splashing coming up. And because I'm that kind of a nerd, it had to be the number 4. It had to be in front because that's the perfect square in the cube photo, you know?
Okay, gotcha.
Details, man. But once I got it set up, it was only about 6-7 shots, I think, to get the timing right. And here we are.
Okay.
But I did expose it. The one thing I should note is that in terms of exposure, the room was dark, so the only exposure is coming from the two strobes. And they're both on 1/64th power. And that mm-hmm. is designed to freeze the action as best you can.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It's kind of like having a long shutter. If you have a long shutter, you're going to get like a lot of blur from the water. So the same is kind of true with the flash. If you have it on full power, you're not going to be able to stop the action as well. So at 1/64th, it's such a tiny pulse of light that we get to see all the particles in the air and the ripple in the water, and that's what I was going for.
Okay.
Let's look at yours, or as I like to call it, almost the exact same shot.
Yeah, the only thing I did differently, well, I put gray photo paper down because I just wanted to keep it all kind of black except for the light that was going to be coming from the flashes. And I have the lights basically at 90-degree angle, right beside, basically in plane with the lime mm-hmm. and the glass. So I, instead of coming from that, you see where the shadows are going. They're basically directly parallel to the lime and the glass. And I've got the power on the flashes down as low as I could get them, and the flashes are just bare speed lights. And then rather than using a remote on the camera, I just had my wife drop the cubes mm-hmm. into the glass. So I put the limes, I sliced some limes and I put them in there just because I wanted to add a little bit of color. I just thought that the ice dropping into the water on their own was going to be pretty bland with the liquid being white and the ice being white. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll just add a bit of splash of color. So I put the limes in there and and then she dropped the ice cubes a couple times. I tried dropping one cube and two cubes and then I just got sort of the effect that I wanted with, I really wanted the, like it to look, it's just water, but I wanted, when it hit, I wanted a bunch of bubbles. I wanted a bunch of ripples in the water. This one got a little bit of a splash up over it. And I just was happy with the way it looked, and I shut her down after about 6 or 7 tries. Partly it's because my wife was like, "This is the last one," and then I'm going to bed. So, yeah,
that's why I took care of it myself.
Yeah,
I was like, "All right, I'm not going to involve her." She actually volunteered, and I was like, "Nah."
But I was also thinking when it came down to it, I thought, and this is where I could have done another 15 and maybe got something even a little bit better, but I was also deciding that where was my end game here?
Mm-hmm.
That no matter how good I made this photo, it was still going to be a photo of ice getting dropped into a glass with a couple of limes in it.
Correct.
And so if Bacardi was paying me to do this and I had to come back with something that they could put on a billboard, then I probably would have dropped it another half dozen times. But I was basically like, yeah, good enough. Moving on. That's where I landed.
That is the law of diminishing returns.
Yeah.
So to keep that in mind. I think the only like the real difference here is that you basically cropped in tighter on mm-hmm. the glass, which I would have. I was debating, do I want to be right in on the cube? Because for mine the cube isn't really prominent. I mean, neither is yours because it kind of blends in with the water, but it is there.
Yeah.
But mine, I mean, mine, you find the cube.
I think because of the color. The color is the thing that draws your attention to it for sure.
Yes.
So I don't think yours has to be closer because I do like the spray of the water coming up. And I think, again, because it's a completely different color, there's there's no way of getting away from the fact that that's the subject. So I like that. I think that when I looked at it, I was like, no way, those, just the lighting and everything, I was like, those are way too similar. Yeah. That's weird. But I guess if we've had whatever 260 odd challenges, eventually we're about to do the same thing
at the same time. Sure. Yeah, I turned out to actually like my photo more than I thought I would. Now, it's not going on my wall, but like there might be something. I might shoot this again with a little more effort. Not that I didn't put the effort in, but it's just not quite there. Like I kind of like what's going on here. I like the spray. I like the color scheme. That's just the blue wall in my kitchen with a white table. Yeah. So there's nothing fancy there. Just what exists. I purposely chose that color scheme, and the white balance is a little bit cool.
When I'm looking at them side by side, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, yours, you went one way. You went very cool with yours, and I went very warm, mm-hmm. partly because I wanted the greens and the lime. And when I look at them side by side, I'm like, mine looks at one extreme and yours looks at the other.
But see, with mine, I look at it, and this is kind of what we talked about with Don Komoreczko last week, is that anchor point. Like I hadn't thought of shooting it. It's an unintentional anchor point because I don't think the subject of the photo is the dye. But I think it's the last thing you see before you move on. So at 1.4 seconds of viewing this, before you click on to something else, you the last thing you see is the number 4, and then you're moving on with your day. Mm-hmm. So I think this represents an anchor point, not so much a landscape photo, obviously, but just in a regular photo. So this kind of ties in unintentionally with last week.
Okay, and I didn't listen. So.
This week's challenge, this week's topic is what I meant to say,
and not because I don't think that it would have been good. It's just I don't like Dawn. So
no, I understand. I understand. Yeah. You had T-shirts made up, and everyone's like, "Hey, why don't you like Dawn? I don't even know who Dawn is." And P.S. Are these your pants?
Yeah,
that would be a great T-shirt. Just that, all it said was, "Are these your pants?" That would be a conversation starter.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think you've got something there.
I'm probably gonna make that up, and not even two hoses related. Just a T-shirt that says, "Are these your pants?" on the back, with an arrow pointing down.
Oh, okay.
And we're gonna call it conversation starter T-shirt. So that might be a CST. That's the name of the CST shirts.
That's the company.
Yeah, of course. So, right. this week's topic. Now, this is something we've been had, you know, in the works for a long time and never pulled the trigger.
Oh,
on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the reason I didn't want to do it too long ago is because we did the selfie stick, and that was, and I'll go ahead and say that in the grand scheme of things, that was a little bit negative. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, ultimately, if you look at it, it is positive because we want to affect change in the positive direction of like quit being using selfie sticks.
Right.
Right. And with vertical video, same thing. But this week's topic is don't take that photo.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a situation where there are some of it's negative, but some of it is just like, hey, we've already done this. We've gotten home and deleted all of them and thought, what are we doing?
Right.
What do we need this for? And it's photos that you just you don't need. You think you need them, you don't.
And as much as we're kind of, you know, having fun with this, a lot of these are photos that, you know, I can say that I have taken.
I'm going to look at my list real quick, and I think I've made a list of 5. I think I've done 4 out of 5, maybe 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've done almost every one of mine too. If there's one of them I haven't done, then I'll cue you.
So I went through in order to prepare for this. I actually went through libraries of my old photos just to refresh my memory about the photos I didn't need.
Okay,
but it was difficult because I have deleted those photos. They're not in there. Like right. Those don't exist anymore because I recognized, wow. I probably should have kept a file of them. I put them in a whole different library just to remind myself that, yeah, at one point you took this photo, and what were you thinking? Don't do it. So with that in mind, now I'm going to start off with this one's more of a rant than a practical thing. But this is the one that really, really grinds me, is that if you're in a place of historical significance where something bad has happened.
Okay.
And I've been to two of them that come to mind for me is the concentration camp Dachau. I've been a couple times. Also Ground Zero in New York, like about 2 years, probably 2 years after 9/11.
Okay.
Do not pose for a picture at these places.
Right.
There's nothing to be gained of getting your photo in front of Ground Zero.
Yes.
I saw a lot of this. I took pictures at Ground Zero. I took, you know, just some like I had my film camera at the time, and I took a few photos that I kept. But I was seeing pictures like because I'm not sure if it must be still there. But just after 9/11, I guess a lot of people had put up basically, you know, missing like banner, like what do you call it, like post, like what do you call this, the flyers. So there is a wall, or was a wall, of flyers of, hey, have you seen my dad, and pictures and stuff like that of people who were missing after 9/11. Okay, so there's a whole wall cluttered with that, and people were getting a picture taken in front of that wall.
Yeah, that's offside.
I was wildly rattled by that. Thought it was pretty offensive. And then again at Dachau, like sacred land, like just it is like. I do recommend if you ever come to Germany, go to Dachau or, you know, any other concentration camps that are still basically kept as museums. It'll be probably the worst day of your life, but it's, you know, the most miserable day anyways. It definitely is, but it's important to go see, and I've been a couple of times, and more than once, seen people posing in front of, you know, the barracks or something like that, and thought, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Not only is it disrespectful, what are you going to do with that? You going to frame that one? Put it on the wall?
I hear you loud and clear. Yeah.
So, okay, 15 more minutes on this. So that's my one. So that's the one I've never done. Because right out of the gate, I knew right away. I was like the first time I went to Dachau, didn't even bring my camera at all. Was just just like I'm not gonna.
Which need. I think is what most people probably do.
You'd like to think.
Yeah.
It's not the case. It's cameras everywhere.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's.
I shouldn't have said that.
No.
I shouldn't have added fuel to your fire.
No. So the first time I didn't. No. And in fact, I think I didn't bring my camera either time because I just thought, wow, just go experience that. But that's a whole different. That's a different issue. If you bring your camera, if I were to go there now, which I'll probably have to go, I'll probably go again. I'll probably take some friends and go see it. And I gotta tell you, if I'm there and I see a selfie stick, not even if it's being used or not, I will snap it.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. Just as a warning to you, going to Dachau, don't bring your selfie stick. I might be coming.
Okay.
All right. What do you got for don't take that photo?
My first one on my list is. Any picture of your food at a restaurant.
Okay, I'll cross off number three on my list.
did you have that one?
I just said your dinner, yeah.
Yeah, that I mean, that's to me worse than a selfie. It's like, again, reaching that point of like, who really cares? Like, who cares?
Especially in this day and age when there are lots of restaurants and it's not like it's a special occasion.
Right. Yeah, yeah. If it was like, oh, I'm here with Nana on her 95th birthday and, you know, she's blowing out the candles at the restaurant, then, again, that picture in the restaurant. But just, again, just your food. Hey, here's my burger. Or look at this pancake. I feel like our society would be better off without those photos.
I can't agree with you more. And I recently saw a post somewhere on the interwebs of a restaurant who basically have their dishes that they use are designed to take photos of with the iPhone photos. Like they kind of got like a like an arching back, like they kind of come up, so it provides a really cool backdrop, an automatic backdrop.
And that's just smart business of them taking it. Like, I have no problem with them doing that.
Right.
That's just taking advantage of what people are already doing.
Yes.
But, yeah, I wish people would stop doing it.
This goes back to the vertical video thing, is because people are – it's not like they're looking at their own photos of their food and go, oh, man, I really enjoyed the lamb chops. Boy, oh, boy. It's basically some sort of, hey, everybody, look at me.
Yes.
I'm at the white spot.
Yeah.
This is a triple O burger, everybody. Bet you wish you had one.
Yeah.
So that is wrong on so many levels. All right. I'm going to do one that comes right out of my own personal experience.
Okay.
One that I've done. And this isn't narcissistic. This is just a what? And you were there. That's why I bring it up. So we went to Gross Mountain last summer. Remember that?
Yeah,
up there with you and they brought the kids and a couple other families were up there and walking around. And Gross Mountain's a fun place. You see the bears and they have a bird show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're standing at the back. Our kids are enjoying the bird show and they bring in one of the new falcons or something. And the guy's walking by with it, and I snap a photo of the falcon. And then immediately, as soon as the shutter goes click, I think to myself, what am I doing? Do I need a picture of this bird on this guy's shoulder? I don't know the guy. I don't know the bird. The bird's not coming over to the house. And so I'm just kind of like disgraced with myself, if that's even a way to put it. I look over at you and you're staring at me with the most sour look on your face, as if to say, what are you doing?
I've done that before too. And I ranted about this on a previous episode. I do have this on my list in a similar capacity. I had pictures of the animals at the zoo.
I could go ahead and cross off number four.
it's the same thing, right? There's just no reason for it. And I somehow think that it's just like, you know, us imagining that we're on safari somewhere in Africa and that like we're seeing these animals in the wild, because again, you know, a close up of the gorilla or whatever, when you can't see the fence or anything around behind it, you know, you might feel like for a second that you are that National Geographic photographer, but you're not. And and where are you going to post that again? Like, it comes back to, I'm at the zoo. Or
I been this guy? I don't remember. I might have, or I might have self-edited myself at the zoo. Like, right. I may have snapped one and went, I'm just going to go ahead and delete this now. I'm going to go and smash my camera on a rock because also it's like, oh man, there's the tiger looking all sad because he's in jail for no reason. Yeah, he's
but there is a time where it's okay. So I'm okay with if your kid is feeding the elephant or feeding the giraffe, that in context with your kid is fine. It's just the snapshot of the lion or the snapshot of the giraffe that is completely needless.
See, on the flip side, you're right. I mean, on the flip side, if you're taking pictures of your kids, there's pretty much nothing that you can't take. I recommend you don't take a photo of your kids. Like, everything. Go crazy. I don't care. If it's, you know, as long as it's interesting.
But, I mean, that's why you'd have your camera at the zoo.
Oh, definitely.
That's how it gets there. And then all of a sudden you start snapping random pictures of the lizard or of the zebra or whatever. And
yes.
That's where you got to get a hold of yourself.
There are a couple of exceptions here. And even then, it's really you're walking a fine line. If you want to snap a kind of a rather wide photo, even if your kids aren't in it, sort of as a documentary style thing to show your kids one day, they'll go, "Oh yeah, I remember that zoo." Now that's going to be a 12-year investment for a 3-second payoff.
Right.
So your ROI on that is pretty low.
Right.
That I can get away with. Now, there is another exception. If you're going to show up to the zoo with a 600mm lens and get like a really tight photograph of the lion's eye, I'm not going to argue with you. It's probably going to look cool. I would rather you go on Safari, but even Safari now is pretty, from what I understand, is pretty commercialized.
It's a setup.
Yeah, so you're not, you're like, it really should be either I get this photo of the lion or he eats me. Like, that's what Hemingway would do. And then all of a sudden the intrinsic value of that photo is through the roof, and now we need that. You know,
right.
But for you're absolutely right. And for me it's the jungle cats. Because here at the zoo in Stuttgart, it's a pretty awesome zoo, and but you look at these cats, they have a panther, you know, you name them, they have one. They just look hot and sad to me. And this isn't even like, well, you know, yeah, this, of course, they did a couple of armed robberies, and now here they are in the zoo. This is just like scooped up random off the street. All right, come with me. So that sort of sucks. But then even to get a photo, it's not like they're doing something interesting. They're
sleeping.
They're sitting there looking at you with contempt going, I can't believe you paid to be here. Seriously, what's going on?
Yeah.
So yeah, animals at the zoo. Don't do it without your kids in the photo.
I have another one that's kind of on a similar level.
Is it the aquarium?
No. I was going to say like sporting events. So, you know, you go to the Yankee game and you take everybody around me. I went to an Angels game last year, the year before. And we were sitting in the bleachers in right field, and you know, there's at least a half dozen people within two rows of me just taking pictures of the fielders and whatever they could zoom in to, you know, get the second baseman or a shortstop or whatever from there. And I was just thinking, why are you doing that? And you know, you see cameras everywhere at that kind of event. And again, where I'm okay with it is, you know, take a photo of your kids watching the game, or of yourself if you're gonna. I'm okay with the selfie in this situation. Mm-hmm. Taking at a ballpark you're only gonna ever go to once, taking the photo of you at Yankee Stadium or whatever. That's okay. But yeah, pictures of the game, I don't understand.
Especially since it's being broadcast on at least 9 channels.
Yeah, and there's people much better than you all standing in a big row taking the photos with much better equipment. But where I think it's interesting is that like you say, there is a ton of people doing it, and I can see kind of like that crowd mentality where if you got your camera, just getting lost in it. And here's another one where I'm guilty of having done it before.
Are you guilty of the baseball one?
I believe I must have done it once. I must have somewhere
early on when I,
or a hockey game, maybe I did it.
When I got my first digital point and shoot, like a long, like whatever, 12 years ago, whenever it was, I was guilty of this at the Mariners game, sitting like in like the second deck or whatever like that, and just thought, oh yeah, I'm gonna get a picture of the guy actually hitting the ball.
Yeah,
you know,
just to see what the camera can do.
Yeah, but even then, after, I'm like, yeah, I was way too into that. That was what we like to call a waste of my time. And then I was like, "What am I?" I've never done it since, but I was like, "What am I doing?" Now there is an exception to this rule as well. If you are at an event where something big is happening, like a record is going to be broken, like when Barry Bonds was on his march for, you know, to break Hank Aaron's record.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, nobody really cared about that, but when there's these big moments, go ahead and snap a flash photo in the crowd. Your photo's going to be terrible and useless and whatever. However, on camera, it looks awesome when everybody's popping their flash around the stadium.
Yeah, and I can see that. I do have one photo I liked that I took at a Canucks game during the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, they had... that when the Canucks were in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2011, they had a couple of games where they're away, where they actually let you into the arena at Rogers Arena, and you could watch it on the big screen with like 20,000 people. And we went to two of those games, and I took a photo when the Canucks had scored and everyone in the stadium was just standing up and cheering. And I took the photo of just the crowd on that side of the arena next to me. And I kind of really liked the photo because it was kind of a very memorable moment, being a fan of a particular franchise. So it wasn't really about the game. It was more about the fans' reaction and the feeling there.
Right. Again, there you go. So yeah, I'm happy to, you know, for you to bring your camera to these events, But trying to outdo the team photographer in terms of action. Like, if you go to Canucks game, and you'll see they have a team photographer stands in between, is it in between the benches or by the penalty, in between the penalty box, I think.
Yeah, and they have a few, they have, I think, a few scattered, because they, I think, have a few people that work for the team down at either end, too.
Right. So. But you'll watch that guy. He's, first of all, he's got a long lens. Yeah. He's got a good camera. And he does have a pocket wizard attached to a whole bunch of strobes up in the ceiling that basically flood the entire ice. And it's not a crazy amount of light, because it would be too distracting for the players, but it's just a little pop of light. So you're going to compete with that guy. You know, come on. Again, maybe for a documentary thing, if you, hey, I was at Madison Square Gardens, here was the photo, but the action, don't bother with the action, make it personal.
There you
on
go.
A similar note, now, I have one that is similar, maybe you have this one. Did you write down a parade?
No, I did not.
Don't take pictures of the parade, unless your kid is in the parade. That's my advice to you.
Okay, I agree.
There are exceptions to this. If you want to get a picture of, let's say the photo challenge is Remembrance, and you want to take a picture of the Mountie in the parade, then it's cool if we do it.
Yes.
Yep. Or a bagpipes. You want to shoot the guy with the bagpipes? Fine. Do it once in your life. You don't need multiple bagpipe photos. Like, oh, here was 2008, 2011, much different bagpipes.
And I'm definitely guilty of this one. I have taken pictures of random people in parades many a time.
Yeah.
And I have none of those photos still on my computer. So every one of them's a delete. But in my earlier days, definitely I've taken a few too many parade photos.
Yeah. Again, take pictures of your kids at the parade. Love it. In context, it's great because, hey, you know, you're at the parade. Awesome.
I think what happens is you get parade drunk, because that's the intention going in.
Yes.
Is you're just going to take a few photos of your kids, but then next thing you know, you're shooting any float that goes by.
Now, again, the only other exception here is if you're at the Pride Parade, go ahead and snap photos, because it is fabulous. I'm not joking. If you have never been to the Pride Parade, I'm not sure if I'll be able to go this year in Vancouver. I think it's in August, first weekend of August. Go to a Pride Parade. I don't know if they love you taking pictures, but they should, because they put a ton of effort into the presentation. And everybody is having a great time, and you'll get some great photos of the parade of people you don't know or will never see. It is awesome. A lot of colors, everything. Photographically, that's a good one. But your average Canada Day parade, don't bother.
Okay.
What else you got?
I have any pictures taken out of the window of a moving vehicle.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say there are exceptions to this. However, I'm guilty of it.
Yeah. I think it's kind of one of those things that, hey, we're driving to Paris, like you see it in the movie, right? And then somebody sticks their camera out the window because they've got to get it from a long shot from the highway as they're coming around wherever the city is that they're going to visit. So, but those are never good photos.
I have specifically that photo of Paris. I really do.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
We were driving through Paris and I was like, you know what? We're not going to stop. We're nowhere to stop. We're on our way through. Boom, snap a photo. We actually did stop and took a photo in front of the Eiffel Tower, but,
And that was my point. My point is that if it is worth taking the photo of, you know, please stop and just take a photo.
Well, there is, you know? Again, the exceptions are there is something to be said about the art of that.
The art of the out the window photo?
Depends. I don't have an out the window photo of the Eiffel Tower, but I do have an out the window photo of like the highway sign with some cool clouds in the background. No Eiffel Tower. Like we're talking about outside of Paris, but just on the French highways. I have done that, and I do stand by that photo. I kept that photo because I happen to like it.
I think that I've done it as well. No, I know I have, but my batting average is zero on and anything worth keeping.
Oh, mine is way low. I think that might be the only one. Like I might have two out of, you know, a few thousand. And so, no, I don't have never taken a few thousand. You do learn pretty quickly that that's not a photo that you need to make.
Right.
Yeah. What else you got? Because I'm out. You've covered mine. You've taken away half of mine.
Okay, I have any pictures at your buddy's stag.
I disagree.
Don't take pictures at your friend's stag.
No, I disagree on that one.
I have another one.
You know what? A photo from my stag, and you're in it, has been an album cover for one of our episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
All of us
take pictures of your buddy's stags.
Well, it depends, though. Like you pace yourself. Like you have to really know where to take those photos. I mean, there's some.
I'm not going to leave that judgment to myself. So I just will not bring my camera
right
to the stag. Yeah.
The ideal move is have your stag buddy have him bring his camera, and let him decide. Because actually, after about an hour into the stag, he's not going to be any shape to make it a good decision. But no, I have kind of a lot of fun photos of me in in lederhosen in the hotel or in the casino in Vegas, just being that guy.
But would anything be lost if you didn't have those photos?
Yeah, people seem to like those ones.
Okay, all right, well then...
No, but in general, you are correct. At some point in the evening, the camera should just go away. Because you don't need the rest of it. Because it's going to devolve quickly, and there's no need for that.
I have one more.
All right, let's wrap it up with a good one.
Any photo when a relative turns to you and says, wouldn't that make a nice photo? Where's your camera?
That is when I punch that person in the face.
Yeah,
that
does come up, but then I'm stubborn enough to just never take the photo in that situation.
This comes up even with clients though, and like you'll have your whole setup, you have your lighting set up over on like the chair or wherever it is where you want their kids to go, and their kids aren't ready, and they're goofing around, but you had all the lights set up there in the, kind of a dark room. It's gonna be a nice portrait. You got your 70-200 lens on, and then the kid goes and instead. In the dark, just sits on your foot. And then, oh, isn't that cute? Hey, get a photo of that. Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm all dialed in for that photo.
Right.
But yeah, anytime a relative does say that to you, it's like, oh, that'd make a nice photo. What do you say to them?
I just pretend I didn't hear it.
You should actually say that to them.
Or my camera's broken.
Yeah. Right. I get that. That is one of my big, I know what makes a good photo. That's what you want to tell them.
Or I just agree with them.
The passive aggressive. You are correct.
That would make a great photo.
Where is your camera, Aunt Sally?
That's right.
That's what it is. What's the attitude? Is that they're thinking like they didn't bother bringing their camera because they know you'll be there. Oh, Adam will do it. So I'll be Adam's boss today.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where it's like, all right, if I do it, it's when I do it, then that should be good enough.
For me, it's a combo of don't boss me and why didn't you bring your camera, lazy Aunt Sally? Yeah. This is nonsense. So just pipe down, keep your mouth shut. You're right. That one sounds a little more personal for us than, hey, you'll never need this picture again. But there you go. If you're listening still and have some photos that you've taken and thought later on, wow, I didn't need to take that, post them or just tell us about them on the Facebook site or Twitter or wherever you feel comfortable doing that. Cause I want to hear about that. I like to hear about people. Maybe I can learn from other people and say, oh yeah, you're right. I should never take that photo.
Sounds good.
That's it. We need a challenge for next week.
Oh,
I didn't write one down. I assumed it was your turn.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
No.
It's not the movie. Just anything, any kind of picture that involves any one of those things.
Nah.
No?
Okay, but then the week after, it's going to have to be like the longest day will be the category because it's going to be the longest day of the year.
Okay.
And so planes.
Do you want to do that now?
No, because then it won't be the longest day of the year before next episode.
Okay. Well, let's do planes, trains, and automobiles.
You understand how the solstices work, right?
I have something in mind.
Oh, can you tell me so we can copy each other again? No. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah, all right. That's fine. I can find a train. I'm in Europe.
Okay.
Great websites. Adam. Where?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Boom. And my stuff at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find everything we just talked about and the photos and the links and, more importantly, the Amazon.
Great.
That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos. Mm-hmm.